This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Yeah, this is Steve Callis on the Steve Callis Show, and what we're doing today is taking specific topics interesting in the news and spreading them out over a 12 or 15 minute period just to go in depth a little bit as to various topics. And today we're going to talk about Oklahoma City and Miami, a little bit about the NBA Finals, but more forward-looking as Miami wins the championship, a little more experience, a little more age, maybe better players. Certainly they played better in the final series in 2012 in the NBA Finals, but really more about the future, about what happened in the NBA draft for both teams, and forward-looking, what does this mean for the rest of the league? Because if you watched Oklahoma City and Miami, from an athletic point of view, to me it was so far ahead of other teams. I mean, San Antonio had a nice run in 2011-2012. The Celtics had a nice run, taking the Heat to a Game 7. Many people thought they were well past their prime. Obviously, they weren't. The emergence of Rondo as a star, and we've talked about it all year. It used to be the big three in Rondo when they won that championship in 2009, but I even thought back then Rondo had joined them. Now I think it's Rondo and the big three. Ray Allen hurt most of the time. KG getting a little older. Pierce still a very good player. But when you look at the competition after Oklahoma City and Miami, I don't think San Antonio could do it if they didn't do it in 2012. I don't think the Celtics can do it if they didn't do it in 2012. And when you look at other teams, I thought the Clippers maybe can make a run on athleticism. You know, they have Paul for his first year as a Clipper at the point. I mean, they're a very athletic team. Blake Griffin, obviously, arguably the most athletic big man in the NBA. But when you look at them just go up and down the court, Oklahoma City and Miami, it was unbelievable, the speed, the athleticism. I mean, it was just beyond, I think, all the other teams in the NBA. The Clippers really the only team that comes to mind that maybe can compete athletically. That doesn't mean Oklahoma City and Miami are locked to be in the finals for the next 4 or 5 years, but I think it does mean that they will be in the finals the majority of the time. If in the next 5 years, and that's really more the window for the older Heat than the younger Oklahoma City Thunder, but in the next 5 years, I'd be surprised if those two teams are not in the finals at least three times. That's how far superior they are athletically. Now, Oklahoma City is very young, and we'll get into them. But it was Miami's time this year. We talked about it before the finals. I'm a firm believer of the climb the ladder. And Miami, after having no preseason last year because Wade was hurt and starting 9-8, went all the way to the finals before they lost to Dallas in 6. And Dallas, of course, had climbed the ladder for years. Finally got a Tyson Chandler to shore up their defense. Got a J.J. Barea, an unbelievable matchup problem, and wound up beating Miami in the championship, as I thought they should and would. This year, same analysis, I think. Tyson Chandler goes away. J.J. Barea goes away. Forget Dallas. Dallas is back to being what they were before. A very good team with a Dirk Nowitzki superstar who does not have the defensive stopper. How Mark Cuban let those guys get away is beyond me. But he did. That eliminates Dallas. So when we're talking about Boston, San Antonio, you can throw Dallas in that mix as well. Not because they're old, just because they lost their defensive stopper. In New York, where I'm from, the Knicks, dreams of Knicks championships. I'm a Knicks guy. I don't think so. Again, when you watch the athleticism of these guys and you see Amari Stoudemire having trouble jumping, for whatever reason, back issues, age issues, injury issues, whatever, he doesn't quite rise to that superstar status. He played like a superstar his first 40 games as a Knick before Carmelo came over 2 seasons ago. But this year he was hurt back and forth. His brother was killed. was a tough year. But when you look at them in relation to what Miami can and does do, what Oklahoma City can and does do, again, to me, Oklahoma City and Miami weren't necessarily head and shoulders this year. They were the two best teams. But next year, going forward, they're head and shoulders in their respective conferences. So what happened in the NBA Finals, just briefly? Harding was terrible for Oklahoma City. Westbrook criticized, I think correctly to a point. Russell Westbrook might be the most talented point guard in the NBA. He's not really a point guard, though. He played the two guard at UCLA. He obviously is a shoot-first point guard. He should never take more shots than Kevin Durant. I don't care how good he thinks he is, because Durant is a superstar. Westbrook is a star on the border of superstardom. The one thing about Russell Westbrook, he's got the best mid-range jumper in the NBA. Every game you listen to, the people moan the loss of, oh, there's no mid-range jump shots. There's no mid-range jump shooters in the NBA. Nobody pulls up and takes a jumper. Well, Russell Westbrook has the best mid-range jumper by far, period. And if you didn't know that, all you had to do was watch the playoffs, especially the finals. A stunning athlete. But can he become more of a point guard? That's a real issue. Criticized heavily during the playoffs by everybody. Westbrook was defiant. I'm not going to change my game. Durant was a big supporter, at least publicly, of Westbrook. I can't believe when Westbrook takes 28 shots and Durant takes 19. I cannot believe Durant likes that. I cannot believe Scott Brooks, an excellent young coach, likes that. But my sense is they have to let Russell be Russell. But Westbrook is going to have to get a little more mature. It's not even necessarily about turnovers. It's about decision-making. Can he do that? Can he raise his game from a basketball point guard IQ level? That remains to be seen. Does Oklahoma City try and get a point guard and move Westbrook to the two? Where, my goodness, he'll be a superstar. You know, Derek Fisher really helped that team. I thought when Fisher went over from the Lakers, and I assume they'll try and bring him back next year, I thought he was going to be a leader in the clubhouse kind of guy, but boy, did he play well, made some big shots throughout the playoffs. Is a tough guy, has five rings, can still defend a little. Can't stop those quick point guards. But can still defend a little, good team defender, great leader. So when Fisher was leaving the Lakers, it was he going to go to Miami or going to go to Oklahoma City? I thought he'd go to Miami, frankly. But he didn't. He went to Oklahoma City. And he's helping them. But look at Oklahoma City. Durant, Harding, Westbrook, Ibaka, all 22, 23 years old. Remains to be seen if they can hold on to all of them. But they should try. Durant, the only one with gigantic money in a long-term contract. Harding, Westbrook, even Ibaka not making what they should be making. The other wild card in the finals was the poor play of Harding. He has to raise his game. He was unbelievable during the year, sixth man of the year, and deservedly so. But he's going to have to raise his game if they're going to beat Miami. This is all Oklahoma City measuring themselves against Miami, Miami measuring themselves against Oklahoma City. I would pick the Clippers as the next team, but they're a ways away. Again, I don't think all these other teams in the East, Indiana's a nice team, the Knicks are a nice team, the Celtics are an old team. I don't see a challenger for Miami in the East. I just don't see it happening. I mean, I don't know who it's going to be. The Pacers, people thought they might come back and beat Miami after Chris Bosh got hurt, but that didn't happen. And then Bosh proved how valuable he was in that Game 7 against the Celtics, where he was 8 for 10 from the field, 19 points, 8 rebounds, coming back from that abdominal injury. And the reason I thought the finals turned into a laugher wasn't LeBron James getting a triple-double in Game 5. It was these other guys stepping up. Mario Chalmers with 25 points in one game. Mike Miller finally hitting seven threes. Mike Miller has been injured for 2 years. Hitting seven threes in Game 5, turning that into a laugher as Miami winds up beating Oklahoma City 4 games in a row, including 3 in Miami, which I certainly didn't think could happen. So forward-looking, the big three in Miami is still better than the big three at Oklahoma City. And Westbrook is going to have to be more of a point guard, and Harding is going to have to raise his game. Durant's a superstar, but he has to deal with LeBron and Wade and Bosch. And again, you saw how valuable Bosch was when he got hurt, and Indiana took a 2-1 lead over Boston. Now people in retrospect are saying, oh, yeah, everybody counted Miami out. Well, that's not true. They were playing Indiana. I mean, they played the Knicks in the first round and Indiana in the second round. Nobody viewed that as a challenge. In fact, Miami, I thought, was heavily favored to beat Boston in the third round. And Boston actually took a 3-2 lead, but Miami came back and won game 6 and 7. Now, what's the big hole forward-looking? You know, everybody says, oh, LeBron has shown how great he is. LeBron with a triple-double in a clinching game. Yeah, it's game 5. You know, let me know when he does that in a game 7. But the problem still for Miami is who's taking the final shot. That never really came up in the finals. That really didn't come up all that much in the playoffs. LeBron hasn't been able to make a final shot. Dwayne Wade hasn't been able to make a final shot. Chris Bosh hasn't been able to make a final shot. That's the Achilles heel for Miami. If Oklahoma City can get good enough next year to make them make final shots, tie game down 2, 10 seconds left, who's taking the final shot for Miami? Well, that question remains to be answered. So, yes, give LeBron credit. He got a championship. He deserves it. He was the MVP of the playoffs. I didn't think he was the MVP of the regular season. I thought Durant was, but he was the MVP of the playoffs. Dwayne Wade, that quiet leader with a championship in his pocket already, now has 2. After he was the MVP in the 2006 finals with Shaq against Dirk Nowitzki and Dallas. The one other thing to mention forward-looking, I thought Miami made a big mistake by not taking Perry Jones III. But they must have been more concerned with his knee issues than Oklahoma City is. But now Miami trades their draft pick, and then Oklahoma City takes Perry Jones III, the kid out of Baylor. You want to read an interesting article, March 8th, 2011, New York Times Magazine cover story on Perry Jones III. Obviously, his stock went way down this year. He has some knee issues. He was a definite lottery pick last year, and he didn't come out. But Oklahoma City gets Perry Jones along with Durant and Harding and Westbrook and Ibaka. These guys are all 23 or younger. If Jones is healthy, 6'11", can handle it, can shoot it, he could be a big factor next year. Miami waited to number 45, drafted Justin Hamilton, big man out of LSU. Is he good enough to really have an impact? Well, they desperately needed a big man. We'll see if he can fill the bill to go along with LeBron and Wade and Bosch. Forward-looking for next season, I would still like Miami over OKC. Miami has one in the bank. LeBron and Wade looking to make a big run. Oklahoma City looking to make a big comeback. But I see these two teams a lot in the finals in the next 5 years. I don't see anyone next year or even the year after who's really going to step up. Again, when you look at the sheer athleticism, again, if you watch these NBA finals, I would say they were the most athletic NBA finals ever. What these guys were doing, what Russell Westbrook does going to the basket, what Durant can do where he takes off where you think he's going to take a 7-footer and he dunks it. And, of course, LeBron and Wade, incredible athletes. So it really has shifted to the group of superstars, if you will. But right now, Miami is at the top of their game with their guys in the late 20s or 30 years old. Oklahoma City coming quickly. Durant, Harding, Westbrook, Ibaka. Perry Jones III now. These two teams look like the clear favorites next year and probably the year after to be in the NBA Finals. So Miami gets their first championship in the LeBron era. LeBron gets his first championship. The LeBron lovers say this solves all problems. And, hey, LeBron is one of the greatest players ever. Now with that championship, he's not in the Charles Barkley list or the Malone and Stockton list. He's in the champions list. But how many can he get? That remains to be seen. Oklahoma City, I expect them to be right back. I think there's a replay next year of this year's finals. I think in 2013, a year from now, we'll be talking about another Oklahoma City-Miami final. And depending on the ability of Perry Jones III, the health of Perry Jones III, he could be the wild card. But Westbrook has to be more of a point. Harding has to play better. Right now, you still have to like Miami next year. And again, they need that guy. Chalmers has become a good NBA point guard. He had 25 in one game. Mike Miller, 7 threes. Just stunning. That's why the Game 5 was a laugher. That's why they won all three games in Miami. You know LeBron and Wade and Bosh are going to play well if they're healthy. It's the other guys around them that makes it either a close game or a laugher for Miami. So, yes, Miami gets there first. Oklahoma City had a great run this year. They've climbed the ladder, if you will. We talk about that all the time. Miami has gone from second round to the conference final round to winning the conference this year and now going to the NBA Finals. They're climbing that ladder, but Miami's going to be there waiting for them. And again, if you're a Celtic fan or a Pacer fan or a 76er fan or a Knicks fan, or if you're in the West and you're a San Antonio or a Celtics fan, if you're in the West, a Spurs fan, a Dallas Maverick fan, the Clippers seem to me the one team that might be able to enter that pantheon of Miami and Oklahoma City athletically. And Chris Paul looks to me like he can certainly be a championship point guard. And Blake Griffin looks to me like he can be a championship player. But they're going to have to get some other guys to help them along as well. But they had a good season this year for the first time Paul and Griffin played together. They're the only team I see outside of the Big Two, and they'll be the Big Two teams for the next 3, 4, 5 years at least, in my opinion. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR, DVR upgrade and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show, and we're spending a lengthened period of time on a number of different topics. I hope you'll bear with me on this one. I think it's very important. The Thoroughbred Triple Crown. Of course, Thoroughbred horse racing, all horse racing, has gone down in the eyes of the public in the last 20 or 30 years. You go back to Secretariat in the glory days of 1973 and even before that. But the problem in Thoroughbred racing, and everybody wants a Triple Crown winner, it becomes the biggest story in the country when you have a horse who has won the first two legs of the Triple Crown, and that has happened a lot since 1997. That has happened about eight times between 1997 and 2012. The last Triple Crown winner, everybody knows these numbers and years, affirmed with Steve Cawthon in 1978, beating Aladar, who finished second three times, finished second in all three Triple Crown races that year. But back then, and even before, you expected a Triple Crown winner. It wasn't unusual. There was a long gap from Citation in 48 to Secretariat in 73. But then you had three Triple Crown winners in the 70s, and you just assumed there'd be more. But over time, horses just don't race like they used to. They don't race every week. They don't race every 2 weeks. They don't race every 3 weeks. Generally speaking, really good horses race once a month, maybe five, six times a year. That's what happened. The breeding has changed. The game has changed. The training has changed. The Triple Crown survives, and correctly so. It's a big deal. But there has to be some common sense when you look at when the Triple Crown races are raced. The Kentucky Derby, you know, is the first Saturday in May. Then 2 weeks later is the Preakness. Then 3 weeks later is the Belmont. Now, once upon a time, that was a normal racing schedule for top horses. To race three times in 5 weeks was no big deal. But that ship sailed many years ago. Hasn't been like that for 10, 15, 20 years. Horses just don't race like that. I think, given the current system, there will never be another Triple Crown winner if they insist on making horses race three times in 5 weeks at three different tracks, at three different distances. I just don't think that's how it is. It would be like pitching a pitcher, in my opinion. You know now a pitcher pitches every fifth game in the major league, every fifth day in the major leagues. It used to be until into the 70s, a pitcher pitched every 4 days. If you go back to the 20s and 30s, the Cy Young era, even before the 30s, Cy Young used to pitch every third day. That's how you had guys win 40 games in a year, for example. That's how Cy Young won 511 games, the record that will never be remotely close. That record will never be broken. If you're looking for records that will never be broken, that's the one, by sheer volume. But pitching has changed over time. Now they pitch every fifth day. You could see 10, 20, 30 years from now they'll have pitchers pitch every sixth day. You can go 50 years into the future, maybe they'll pitch once a week. Maybe you'll see CC Sabathia pitch every Wednesday. Or if it's a pitcher of his caliber, it'll probably be every Saturday. You'll be lining up pitchers to pitch days of the week. I think that's going to happen. But in Thoroughbred racing, it hasn't changed. And if you look at the history of Thoroughbred racing, people will say, oh, this is the way it is, this is tradition. Well, if you really go way back, it really isn't tradition. It's been like that for many years. But for example, and I'm just giving you examples here, there's 100 of them. Assault won the Triple Crown in 1946. He raced in the Derby, and the Preakness was 7 days later. 7 days later. You want to go back farther? Sir Barton, the first Triple Crown winner, and it wasn't called the Triple Crown in 1919, by the way. But Sir Barton, the first Triple Crown winner, he won the Derby, and the Preakness was 4 days later. In 1917 and 1922, the Preakness and the Derby were raced on the same day. Before 1932, the Preakness was raced before the Derby 11 different times. before 1932, the Belmont was raced before the Preakness 11 different times. What about the distances? You got to agree the distances are wacky. How can you go from a mile and a quarter on Derby Day and then go backwards to a mile and 3/16 2 weeks later in the Preakness? And then the mile and a half test of a champion, the Belmont, 3 weeks after that. It doesn't make sense. Now, I'm not saying change the distances, but I absolutely am saying change the timing. You know, the Kentucky Derby, the first 20, now this was in the 1800s, the late 1800s, the late 19th century, the first 20 derbies were at a mile and a half. These races were run at various distances. The Belmont has been a mile and a half since 1926, so yeah, there's tradition there. But the first 40 Belmonts were raced at a number of different distances. As we said, the first 20 Kentucky Derbies were raced at a mile and a half. Now, the timing, the way it's been, Derby, Preakness, Belmont, has been like that for decades, since the 30s. But the timing between races, again, Assault in 1946, wins the Derby, 7 days later wins the Preakness. And there are lots of other examples. I'm just picking these out. So I don't think the tradition should be etched in stone, although it is. But since 1997, Silver Charm, here are all the horses who won the first two legs of the Derby since 97. Silver Charm, 98, Real Quiet, 1999, Charismatic. Everybody's going, oh, we're going to have a Triple Crown winner. We're going to have a Triple Crown winner now. 2002, War Emblem wins them both. Loses in the Belmont. Funny Side in 2003, same thing. Smarty Jones in 2004, same thing. Big Brown in 2008, same thing. And now 2012, I'll have another. Big upset winner in the Derby. Wins the Preakness. Was going to be the odds-on favorite in the Belmont, didn't even make it to the gate. There has to be a reason. And I think the reason is obvious. These horses cannot race three times in 5 weeks anymore. I think it's bad for the horses. I think it's bad for the game. Really, in thoroughbred racing, there's like 4 days. There's the three Triple Crown races and the Breeders' Cup, which is now spanned over 2 days, but really the second day is the main day, so there's 5 days. But how about this for a schedule? And this makes perfect sense. If you follow the game at all, and you understand even the good horses race like once a month, how about this schedule? You put this schedule in place, it would be fantastic for the sport, for the horses. The horses, to me, are like pitchers. You can't make a pitcher today, pitch every third day, or pitch every fourth day. Can't do it. So here's what you can do in thoroughbred racing. First Saturday in May, the Kentucky Derby. First Saturday in June, the Preakness. First Saturday in July, the Belmont. If you follow the game, you know the Traverse Stakes at Saratoga for three-year-olds, which is the premier race at Saratoga, end of August, often called the fourth race of the Triple Crown. Leave that where it is. Give the Triple Crown horses an extra few weeks. And then that would lead you right into the Breeders' Cup races in October or November or wherever they're going to race them. Think about it. First Saturday in May, Derby. First Saturday in June, Preakness. First Saturday in July, Belmont. Towards the end of August, the Travers. A perfect schedule. Keeps the interest in horse racing throughout May, June, July, and August. No longer a five-week season, which is what it is nowadays, let's be real. Breeders' Cup comes along October, November. So you'd have May, June, July, August. Those are four starts. You need one or two starts early on. Still keeps the Kentucky Derby prep races meaningful. The Wood, the Santa Anita Derby, the Florida Derby, whatever ones. The Arkansas Derby, whatever ones. Horses will race two, maybe three times before the Triple Crown. They race the Triple Crown, that's five or six starts, the Traverse seven, the Breeders' Cup eight. Perfect schedule. That's really the way it should be. Will the Triple Crown winner at that point be cheapened? I don't think so. It's a different world now. Is a pitching ace cheapened now because he pitches every fifth day as opposed to every fourth day? I don't think so. That's the analogy for me that people will understand. pitchers, and top-quality three-year-old thoroughbred racehorses. I think it's an idea whose time has come. I know guys like Dwayne Lucas, one of the greatest trainers of all time, some people will say the greatest trainer of all time, thinks it should be spread out more. Really, the powers that be in thoroughbred racing should see this. It should be obvious to them. You shouldn't race horses like this anymore. Plus, what happens now, and I think one of the reasons you don't have Triple Crown winners anymore, is horses take the Preakness off. The only horse who really cares about the Preakness is the Derby winner, because he's trying for the Triple Crown. So the Preakness really becomes, I won't say an easy race for the Derby winner, but becomes an easier race for the Derby winner. So you wouldn't say it's easier to win the Triple Crown if you go first Saturday in May, first Saturday in June, first Saturday in July. You can make an argument it'll be harder, because all the Derby horses who are any good will come back for the Preakness. And all the horses who are good in the Preakness will come back for the Belmont. They're not going to say, I'm not going to race my horse 2 weeks later, or I'm not going to race my horse 3 weeks later. They won't even have an excuse. So I think it'll be harder to win the Triple Crown that way, but fairer. If you have the best horse, you should be able to win the Triple Crown on that schedule. But everybody will show up to try and beat you in the Preakness, and that is not what happens today. So that's the suggestion. First Saturday in May, Derby. First Saturday in June, Preakness. First Saturday in July, Belmont. It'll change the way thoroughbred racing is perceived. It'll keep the sport in the headlines longer. It'll make the racing season more fair, more equitable, more humane to the horses themselves. They should implement that, should have implemented it years ago. Someone should look at it now. And the powers that be should change that as soon as possible. This is the Steve Callis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.